Hello and welcome to Unquestionably Nerdy, the show where we talk about everything that makes us want to geek out, freak out, and get bitten by a radioactive Joe Rogan. I am one of your hosts, Kata MacArthur, and whom am I joined by?
As always, you're joined by the host with the most, Cole Browning. And did I just hear something about a radioactive Joe Rogan?
I have no idea what you're saying.
Really?
No, I can hear you. But moving on, Cole, we talked last episode about the good we can do in the world and the wisdom we can bring to the masses with this podcast. And I think, with that in mind, have you ever thought about, perhaps, the good we could do physically, whether that being knocking down buildings or robbing banks? You know, the good in the world.
Yeah, I've definitely thought about, you know, robbing banks, sliding down bridges with sleds, just becoming Aquaman or something, and being able to talk to dolphins.
Right.
But yeah, so
I'd say that's an equally good use of your time, yeah.
Yeah, so why do you ask? What's on the plate for today?
Well, today, Cole, I think we could sit down in front of our plate and dive into a healthy meal of superpowers.
I do like superpowers.
Well, let me ask you then, which superpower do you like the most? We obviously have a plethora of superpowers in fiction, and I have a few lists from a few different helpful resources listing the top favorite superpowers in fiction. I have not read through these lists myself, but I thought maybe we could look over a couple of them and give our thoughts on how we'd use them in either our daily lives or perhaps superheroism and supervillainy.
Okay, so I think that my top superpower would be super speed, but not like super speed like Quicksilver. It would be Flash super speed. So, you know, I can harness the Speed Force, go very fast, and also go back in time. I know that's encompassing a lot because the Flash has crazy things that he can do with his super speed. But if I had to restrict it to like one detail, I think the ability to travel back and forth in time would be my number one.
Yeah. Time manipulation. It's a good one. When there's not enough time in the day, you just make more time.
Exactly. You could read every single book that you'd want to. You could become rich. You know all the stock prices if you really wanted to. There were so many things that time travel could affect.
Right. Well, on that note, I think I've actually discovered a pretty interesting note on this handy-dandy IGN.com, don't sue us, of the 100 best superpowers. And number 89, Cole, is understand all languages. What do you think about that as a super ability?
I mean, as a super ability, that's actually pretty good. I definitely think having it in the top 100 isn't a terrible place for that one. I think that if you were able to understand every language, that would be great for, you know, learning the most useful languages here on Earth, which would be, you know, English, Mandarin, Chinese, Spanish, whatever. And then you know all the languages of the tribes. You never have communication issues with anyone. But then I think it would also help if aliens.
Yeah.
Because if that was a superpower, you'd be able to understand aliens.
I think, yeah, that's a very interesting point you touch on. I think you're right. This is a very interesting power that isn't so much a super ability and more of just a day-to-day ability. And you see so often superpowers that are only beneficial in a super environment. And you can do a lot where you understand all languages. You can be a translator. I think that's about it.
I'd say you could be a translator. Let's see. You could be an
archaeologist.
You could be an archaeologist.
Ancient languages.
You could be the world's greatest librarian.
You could, yes. The Dewey Decimal System has no power over you.
Or you could really just be a traveler and become that first person to go anywhere and, you know, kind of have fun with it. I definitely think that that one has a bit more utility on a personal level than it does in some crazy, like, you know, diplomatic, world-saving superhero kind of level.
Right.
Just because you have people that would be able to speak each of the languages separately. You know, you speaking all of them, it's not like you're going to be able to be everywhere at once.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think that that's a great, you know, personal superpower to have.
Yeah. It's definitely handy, and it ironically makes me think of today at work. I work in a voiceover studio here in Atlanta, and today we had father-son duo come into the studio and didn't speak much English, and so the pressure was on as the only person in the studio who spoke a little bit of Spanish.
Oh, that's gotta be great.
Yeah. But moving on from that relatively useful power, let's take a look at number 103, which either this is out of order and also above 100, or I don't understand this list, but a number 103 is super speed, which I think it's like it is a superhero ability, but it's a lot more useful, I think, than, you know, understanding all languages.
Super speed is 103.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And like, just there is the crime fighting aspect, but just getting around, doing stuff quicker, doing chores quicker, doing work quicker. Just imagine like getting an 8-hour day of work, either manual labor or just something more, you know, desk work, just getting through it in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, but also with super speed, I mean, they've done it before with, like, speed reading.
Yeah.
It's almost like when you're doing something, you can just decide to slow time around you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, a lot of interpretations of super speed. So I definitely think that super speed is something that is much more useful to the average person. I mean, in the case of speed reading, time slows down around you. That's a common interpretation of super speed in a lot of sources. So it's basically like what you're saying, time travel extending the day. I really think that opens up so many options. I mean, even from the crime fighting aspect, super speed, you can stop more crimes than other people can. Someone with super speed, if they're looking out for bullets, weapons, and everything, they can end wars.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that it is more practical and it probably the most superhero power. Mm-hmm. They could probably have, you know, some sort of practicality.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's 103.
Right. And, well, with that, I think we've completely lost faith in that list. And moving on to CBR.com, comic book resources, again, don't sue us. Number 23 of 25, ocular abilities like heat vision and optic blasts. I think this might be the least useful in daily life, because how many times in your daily life do you really need laser vision?
Not a lot. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I really only use heat anything for, you know, heating up food or cooking.
Right.
Yeah, and even like an optic blast, I'm like, I feel like Cyclops' powers are a hindrance to him, if anything.
Absolutely.
He always has to wear the sunglasses. It's a super powerful power.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that it's one of the best, because it's more seen as a hindrance. If we're talking about optical abilities that could be useful, I'm going to bring one randomly out of the blue. And this is, I think, more of a travesty than not having seen Game of Thrones, is I've actually seen some Riverdale.
Oh.
And, oh yeah, it's crazy. But no, this newest season of Riverdale, I don't know why they did it. They brought in superpowers.
Okay.
How superpowers have in any point featured in the Archie comics is a mystery.
Uh-huh.
Betty was able to see people's auras on whether they were good or bad people.
I've never seen Riverdale, but the more I hear about it, the more it's amazing and terrible at the same time.
I really feel like Riverdale is just trying to be the combination of Sharknado and Gossip Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know why. But I mean, it's so terrible, but also yet so amazing, like you said.
Yeah.
But no, for the crazy shenanigans that they ended up bringing in magic and superpowers, which just Again, why? That was an optical ability that I thought was actually semi-useful.
Yeah, sure. As like a therapist or just someone who is navigating daily life and not looking for toxic people.
Yeah, so I felt like something like that would be good. X-ray vision, I definitely think would be more useful than like heat vision. Yeah. But I definitely think that X-ray vision is still very situational.
Right.
Any other vision-related superpowers that we're missing?
I mean, we have Superman 4, where he rebuilds the Great Wall of China with his Great Wall of China vision.
I'm sorry. Great Wall of China vision?
Have you not seen Superman 4?
I like to forget that A Quest for Peace existed.
I understand. Well, then let's move on quickly to number 17 on this list, which is immortality.
All right. So I feel like immortality is a bit tougher of one to talk about because spoilers for anyone who has not yet seen Neil Gaiman's The Sandman on Netflix.
I've not seen it. Shut up.
Well, dang. I'm sorry, I can't talk about that. But for those of you who know the comics, Dream and, you know, all of his siblings are called the Endless. Right. They're immortal. There are other immortals that you meet throughout the show, and that's as much as I'll say on that. But I think a lot of considering, I guess, immortality a superpower or not,
yeah,
really depends on how the person who is immortal sees it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wouldn't consider a curse and a superpower the same thing.
Right. And there's also the question of, like, what type of immortality is it? Are you eternally youthful? Or just do you never die? Like, there's that episode of Justice League Unlimited. I think it's Unlimited. Maybe it's just Justice League. Where I think it's Mordred Le Fay is immortal, but then loses his agelessness and just becomes a decrepit old immortal, unable to do anything for the rest of forever.
Yeah, I was gonna say that was a Justice League Unlimited episode. It's actually one of my favorites. But yeah, I definitely think that is part of distinguishing between, you know, what kind of immortality is it? Because is it like you're immortal, like you're not going to age? Is the immortal that you are going to keep on aging and you're just going to be an old person once you hit a certain point and just, you know, not die?
Yeah.
Are you going to be immortal and part of that is being invulnerable in some kind of sense? I think all of those kind of make it a bit tougher to say whether immortality is actually a good superpower or not.
Yeah.
I think in mythology, Prometheus would say it's a bad one.
Yes, good example. I think we could have an entire hour-long episode on just the concept of immortality, and maybe we will one day. But I think in daily life, it'd be a real drag, and maybe if you're like Vandal Savage or Wolverine level of immortal where you're regenerating and invincible, then maybe it's a pretty good superhero ability. But I think that brings us to our next question, which is, are superpowers really worth having in real life at all? Are they actually useful? Because most of the time, when we see superpowers, they are in a super setting where you have to fight super powerful Darkseids and Thanoses and Galactus and everything like that. You're up against superpowered individual, and thus you have the great power, great responsibility to face those individuals. But if you're just a guy in your daily life and you have metal claws that pop out of your knuckles, you're not going to find much use for that.
I really think that superpowers in daily life would actually be a lot of use for a lot of the powers.
Okay.
I really think they would be useful. But my problem is that I think if you're not living in a super world, that the world is going to have more supervillains than it is superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I'd agree with you.
So I would say I think that's the only downturn of having superpowers in a normal world. Because, I mean, the closest analog I can take to superpowers in a normal world would be Heroes, the TV series.
Right.
Most of them lived with the powers knowing they had it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really want to use them. But the one person that really did want to use it ended up kind of being a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the main villain for a lot of the series. And then you had, of course, the main character who, you know, was Peter Petrelli. And he was just kind of the source of good. And everyone else was really neutral.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really think that there wouldn't really be a lot of superheroes in the super world.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people would be neutral, and in the worst case, there would be more supervillains than there would superheroes.
I completely agree. We're just two cynical nerds. I think you're right. And you have other pieces of media like Chronicle and The Boys is a recent example, where it just really shows that people, when they're given that kind of power, just show how shitty they are and how corporate it can become and selfish and how much it can be monetized and be used to lord over other people without powers or even just people with powers who aren't as good as you. I think you're right. If you give a superpower, even something as pretty useless as super strength, if you're not a person who does manual labor for a job, you probably don't need your strength that strong in your daily life. And if you give that to just some Joe Schmo, scrawny or bigger or whoever, and just instantly get super six-pack abs overnight, it's gonna be terrible, right?
I mean, yeah. I really don't think it would make that much of a difference. I really don't think the addition of superpowers would do much.
Right.
To the normal world. But I guess in the argument of, do I want superpowers in a normal world?
Mm-hmm.
Hell yes.
Sure.
I want something fantastical and just kind of that sense of awestruck wonder to see that. Mm-hmm. At any one point in my life, just seeing it once would be just something so special.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you woke up tomorrow and had something big, something showboaty, like super strength or super speed or heat vision or telekinesis, if you had something that you could really show off with, how do you think you personally would react?
I would 100% love it. I would probably show off and just be like, look, something extremely wonderful. I can lift this car.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I could make it to California and back in about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It is a dream to be able to show off with any of those superpowers. telekinesis would kind of be funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I would really showboat with that one. I think kind of what I'd do with that one is try to write like ghost messages in the fog.
Yeah.
Like, you know, on like a fogged up mirror.
Mm-hmm.
I really just want to play practical jokes with telekinesis. I think that's the best use.
So you're not a great responsibility kind of guy?
Me, I don't think that like I would say I have a superpower. Now I have to use this superpower to do all these things is my responsibility to use this every single day and use it.
Really?
But like, no. But I definitely think that I would be more like those guys from Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like if a situation comes up and I'm near it, then I'd be like, all right, let me help out. But like, I don't think it's anything, you know, like what we see in the comics, like Batman or Superman, where they will basically, they're waiting for these crimes to happen and help out.
Yeah. Oh, constantly on patrol.
Yeah. I think it would just be more of a situational thing of if my power is useful and I can help someone, I will, but I'm not going to try and be the superhero and like actively on patrol.
Mm-hmm. Well, It's a large topic, and for someone who may or may not pitch in, someone who may or may not go looking for that power, for that chance to help somebody, here's something I think we can do. I think we can convince each other. And to practice doing that, Cole, I have with me on ranjin.co.uk, don't sue us, a random superpower generator.
That doesn't sound troubling at all.
No, it's great.
All right, so we're just going to assign random superpowers for each other then?
Yes. I think what we're going to do here is we're going to generate a power. We will go back and forth, so you will pitch this power to me, either in superheroism, saving the day and whatnot, or just in daily life, just in daily, your day-to-day, who cares kind of day.
All right, I can do this. You'll definitely be convinced to take my power.
Excellent. Good. Put on your best salesman hat. Put on your nice blazer or your t-shirt with a tux on it that we all have at some point. And prepare to impress me.
All right. Game on. What am I selling you on?
All right, Hiko. The first thing you're going to sell me on is we're going to set the power amounts to modest to start, so we're modestly powerful. And the first power is a magical power, and that is healer. Use an otherworldly language to cure sickness.
Use an otherworldly language to cure sickness.
Yes.
All right, so I got this.
Hit me.
All right. So imagine that you are in a golden corral.
I often do.
Yeah. You see the picture. You see the chocolate fountain. You see the smorgasbord of, you know, fresh cooked meats.
Yes.
All of the fried food. Now imagine that, as sometimes places do, you don't feel good after, you know, gorging yourself on all of buffet food.
Yes, I've eaten three slices of this steak that was somehow cooked in 10 minutes.
Yeah. And I'm like, again, I think everyone's had the, like, any buffet they've been to, anyone's had that, this thing may kind of give me some stomach issues later. And, you know, that's not to say Golden Corral, I think it's just the general of any restaurant.
Right.
Or buffet. But everyone's going to kind of have that food poisoning kind of issue sometime somewhere. But imagine that you were in there and that you were just that one person that greeted everyone as they walked in. And then as they were walking, just gave them a handshake and said some weird goodbye salutation in the mystical language.
Ah, I see.
And that nobody went home with food poisoning from this restaurant ever.
Just the singular employee at the only Golden Corral in America where no one gets sick. It's the promised land, Cole.
Yes. Yes, that's your power, is you're the one person that can cure food poisoning at the singular buffet in the United States.
Can I do this curing ability somewhere other than this singular Golden Corral? Can I go to the hospital?
I mean, yeah, sure, you can go to the hospital. But I mean, I figured you'd have just a bit brighter of a setting at a buffet somewhere. You'd also be able to eat food.
Yeah, I guess I could only cure sickness. I couldn't go to the hospital and, like, fix someone's broken spine. It'd be really depressing to get skipped over by the magical healer guy.
Yeah, so wait, you can cure sickness, right?
Sickness, yes.
Oh, that's easy. They just put you in some research institution or, you know, some overseas medical clinic or whatever, and you just maybe like touch a river and say some weird chanting over a river, and you'd be like, every bacteria that can make everyone sick is just gone.
Okay.
I'm like, I definitely think that even though it's a modest superpower, you're not going to notice any difference if you just happen to eliminate every single deadly germ from a water source. I think you can, because that is definitely getting rid of sickness. It's getting rid of anything that can make anyone sick.
Cole, I think you've sold me.
Yeah, so just think about that. Every single time you wash your hands in the sink, just say some weird alien prayer,
mm-hmm.
and you will have taken that city's entire water supply and cleansed it.
Well, at that point, I should just go back to Jackson right now, because right now we're dealing with some bad water damage.
Oh no, I have heard about that. I was going to say good luck.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, so what's the next power I have to sell you on?
I've been convinced I'll be the manager of that singular golden corral in no time, and think now I'm going to pitch you a superpower.
All right.
Okay. This isn't a power. Enhanced apathy. Remain emotionless and detached no matter the situation.
You know what? Just because...
Are you sold?
Just because I think that you could do such a great job with this one, I'm gonna go ahead and say that you can skip it, and why don't you pitch me another one?
No, I can sell you enhanced apathy. I can convince you.
All right. Try it.
Cole, we're nerds, right? We've both been in that situation where it's really awkward and we don't know how to contribute to a conversation, right? We've both been socially bad.
All of the time, yes.
Oh, yeah. Every time we walk out of the house, right?
Not every time.
Okay. Imagine most of the time. Imagine that 99.99789% of the time when you walk out of the house and see your neighbor and avoid eye contact. Just imagine if you could maintain full, steady eye contact with that neighbor and not care how awkward it gets.
I don't want to make the neighbor feel bad.
You're a hard customer there, sir. Okay, then when you are not invited to a social gathering, and you really would have preferred to have been invited. No, scratch that. I've got a better idea. Job interviews. Job interview, Cole. You've had some of those in the past.
Yes, that is true.
Yes. Imagine if you could go into any job interview, any interview period, any scenario where you are the focus, and you go in totally calm.
I'm pretty sure that would freak out the interviewer.
Exactly. Intimidate them. Assert your dominance. Show them that no Karen in your checkout line is going to get you to call on the manager.
Okay. I definitely think that the point of the interview is to get a job, not try to automatically take the interviewer's job. But you do have a point. You do have a point on combating Karens.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes.
I don't think I'm the person that you can sell on this superpower, but I definitely know that there is someone in the world who sees it as their duty to combat the Karens. And I do think that this is the perfect superpower for that person that wants to combat the Karens of this world.
I need to be bitten by a radioactive salesman, apparently. Moving on to the next power. So we're going to pump up the power amount a little bit. We're going to go versatile.
Ooh, that sounds like a good chunk of good powers.
Okay, this is an interesting one. A supernatural power. Spirit medium. Commune with and be possessed by spirits and otherworldly entities. So Cole, you want to be a scientist. You want to be a learned individual. You want to impress people and or make people feel bad because you're so much smarter than them, right?
I do want to be learned.
Yes. Imagine if you didn't have to read any book, study for any exam, all you needed to do is just call upon the spirits that know that knowledge. You can, if you need to write a paper on, for some reason I was going to say George W. Bush, but he's not dead yet. Imagine you could call on the actual George Washington and ask him to tell you everything you need to know about his life, and you can write the best paper ever.
Okay. That would help me in probably a singular college class.
Yes.
Or a singular week in high school.
Okay. So you're sold, right?
I think you can do a bit better.
I've improved your life somehow. Okay, how about this? Tell the masses what you want to do in your professional career, right?
I want to be a physics professor.
Exactly, a physics professor. And imagine the amount of dead physicists that have died in terrible physics-related experiments, and you can ask them what went wrong and what exactly happened at that moment that they opened a black hole, because I'm imagining that's what you nerds do in physics class. You can ask that dead professor slash physicist and get them to tell you anything you need to know to be the best physics professor ever.
So that is actually a really good one.
Yes!
But I definitely think that experience would do just as well as just asking dead people for advice. I will admit it is useful, but I do have to ask, what is the whole thing about being possessed?
I would imagine. It does say commune with and be possessed by spirits and otherworldly entities. So one could argue that they are separate abilities. Either you can commune with them or allow them to inhabit your body, and you can have a guest speaker in your classes and tell all the kiddies about how they died via physics.
So I really think that...
I don't know why I'm assuming all of these physicists died in experiments, but... You can pick the physicists.
I was going to say, I don't think a lot of them did, but I also do think that your entire purpose for this power is just to traumatize children.
Well.
with you know, ghosts. So, I think I do have to take communing and be possessed by the dead is the same thing. So, sadly, your salesman powers have gotten better, but no cigar yet. But you've got this.
I'll make a sale one day. I just need to contact the dead spirit of a long lost salesman. There was a play like that, Death of a Salesman. I'll contact that guy.
Just contact Arthur Miller. Arthur Miller knows all.
Okay, good. Well, Cole, it's your turn to impress me with your amazing salesman skills, and you have to convince me of. I've already kind of done that one. It's polyglot, speak many languages. Already kind of did that one. So let's try inventive. Easily design contraptions to solve any problem. Why didn't I get this one?
Easily design contraptions to solve any problem?
Yeah. You're like MacGyver, but you can cure cancer. I want this one.
So let me say this, and I think this is the easiest way to think about this. I'll pitch the setting to you. Mm-hmm. Imagine you've had your first invention.
Mm-hmm.
It's brand new. You've patented it. You're starting to sell it. You appear on Shark Tank.
Yes.
Right? And you're like, I have a bunch of these ideas, and I really just want someone to buy the company. If it's a crazy idea, they'll buy it for you from a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
They've bought entire companies before. Mark Cuban's done a lot. So think about that. You sell your first product in Shark Tank. Let's say it's like $1 million. You invest that $1 million. The next day, you take a paperclip, a piece of gum, some paper, and like a nickel.
Yes.
And you make something else stupid that you're going to sell for another $1 million for, you know, some non-crazy problem. So you go on Shark Tank again. This time, it sells for, you know, probably somewhere more than $100,000, depending on what it is. But either way, you keep on going on Shark Tank and getting all of this money and just selling these ideas to them. And then one day, you'll have enough money that you can hire a tailor, right? You can hire a tailor to make you a very fancy costume, comes with a cape, comes with a mask.
Good.
Or, as I like to call it, a cowl.
A cowl, yes.
And then with all of this money, you can buy the best, world's best computers, and you can rent out a cave.
Hmm.
After being in Shark Tank long enough, selling your inventive things to solve, you know, the small issues of the world, you can get onto the bigger things. And who's the best person equipped to solve the big problems in the world? Well, I'll tell you, in DC Comics, it's Bruce Wayne. It's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So, by first going through Shark Tank, it's almost like the first thing you create is that shark propellant, right? You take the shark propellant from the 66 Batman series, you make that. You spray it all over so none of the sharks will give you a bad deal. You keep on rolling in this dough from these like crazy obscure things that you're making. Mm-hmm. And then you'll finally have enough to become Batman. And then you can cure cancer. And then you can have a bat belt of all of these utility things. It's more steps than being a billionaire orphan. But
like any good billionaire, I take the resources to cure cancer and I just keep it in my belt and never take it out.
Exactly.
Yes.
So inventive is just step zero of becoming Batman.
Mm. Do my parents have to die?
No, because you could be...
I'm not really Batman, am I, Cole?
See, you could be Bat-Gentleman.
Oh.
Because, see, Bat-Gentleman is still very kind and more optimistic towards the world because his parents never died.
I see.
So, yes. You could begin your life on Shark Tank, then become Bat Gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So what do you think? Are you sold on being inventive?
Well, Cole, I think the idea had a lot of promise. I think you got a great explanation. But I think you made one key mistake, and that's that we have to eat the rich. It's on the schedule, Cole. Like, episode 100 is going to be eating the... No, it's not. But we have to eat the rich eventually. I can't eat the rich if I am the rich.
Wow, I didn't know you didn't want to become rich. Crazy.
You know, I joke, but that's kind of true.
Look, billionaire playboy is the best superpower.
You're right.
We all strive to be Batman.
You're right.
Just without the whole orphan thing.
But I joke, but yeah, you're kind of right. I don't want to be rich, really. It's a weird dilemma. But I think for that key reason, I gotta deny your offer. This is our Shark Tank, Cole, and I've denied you.
All right, guys, I'm gonna go ahead and put it out there right now. Cadden is a Batman hater.
No. Shut up, you.
Everyone, quiet. Everyone attack Cadden in the comments.
We covered this in episode
for not
one.
Wanting to
He's
be
got
a billionaire
the best stories.
Playboy. Man, I really think you're passing up on a great opportunity.
I just don't want to get eaten by the masses.
Look. I just don't think you're going to accept your power and use it to the best of the ability, so I don't even want to give it to you, therefore I'm out.
Well, it was a strong round, Cole, but I think we have one more power level to boost it up to mega OP level. So, Cole, why don't you pitch me on super anxiety?
Super anxiety?
I'm reading over this. And it's not exactly what it seems. Induce levels of anxiety in others that ranges from mildly nervous to utter panic.
Wow.
Hit me.
That's okay. So I'm gonna bring it back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So imagine yourself back in the single buffet in the United States where no one can get food poisoning.
I'm back. I've got my badge on and my polo shirt.
Good, good, good. All right. So imagine while you're in there, you see somebody, you see two people going up to get the last cupcake.
Yes.
In the dessert section.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you're like, man, I think it's really unfair that one person was just sitting closer when the other person had to walk so far to get it.
Mm.
I think that there should be valuable competition to this. So you induce this state of utter panic of losing the last cupcake in the person that had to walk all that way just to see the pure chaos that would happen as they rush to fling themselves through the chocolate fountain.
Okay.
To get their hand on that cupcake.
Okay.
Before the one person is there.
Can I control what they're panicking about, or are they just super nervous about the immediate scenario they're in?
No, I think you can control whatever you want them to panic about.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think that also you'd have the powers there to just also become a billionaire. Not as inventive as Batman, but you could still become Batman. Think about it. You can induce panic in people. Mm. You could rig sports games. Anxiety. Let me tell you about one of the biggest sources of anxiety. Have you ever just been in the middle of the test or a sporting event mm-hmm. or whatever, mm-hmm. and just in the middle of like a dense crowd and you had to go to the bathroom?
I have indeed, yeah.
See, now, imagine, you were getting anxious the longer you waited once you had to go in the bathroom. Imagine, even then, let's go back to the conscious issue if you didn't have to go to the bathroom, uh-huh. right? But you were in the very back. You couldn't see any of what was going on stage and you wanted to be up front, mm-hmm. right? Imagine if you induce the panic of like half of the people on the ground to where they just needed to rush to the bathroom at that moment. Think about how close you could get to whoever was playing there.
Okay. I will say, you mentioned becoming Batman and a billionaire again, so that I will detract points. Solid argument, though. It's not a dead ringer for a loss, but still gotta eat those rich people. Still gotta eat the rich.
Hold on, though. Maybe you don't have to eat the rich.
Okay.
Because remember, you can control what they're being anxious about. What if someone was anxious that they had so much money and they were afraid that what if having so much money made them anxious because they had to count to such a high number to figure out how much they were worth?
So I'm
what if they didn't want to count past 1 million?
So I'm just a really mean telepath. I can insert thoughts into people's minds, but only the bad ones.
No, you can do it to anyone's mind. You're basically Cobb from Inception, mm-hmm. but without having to go through the Inception.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how powerful you are.
Okay. I'm going to let you bring this back because I'm going to say I'm not convinced yet because I'm pretty sure, well, you've not mentioned the key factor that everyone in the modern day already suffers from super anxiety. I'd be doing nothing.
See, not everyone suffers from panic. Mm. But think of super positive anxiety. Because remember, there's positive anxiety and there's negative anxiety. Like, the negative anxiety is like debilitating agoraphobia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want to go outside because all of that. Nervous anxiety is like that competitive drive of like, I don't want to lose, and thinking about losing is driving me crazy. Therefore, people are going to be better in competitions, or like, I'm anxious because there's a possibility I may get a B. They're going to work so much harder to get an A in school. You can put that positive anxiety in people so that we just get a level of overachievers, but not natural overachievers. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to have all of the natural overachiever problems.
Okay. I think you brought me back around.
I think this is the point where I just drop the mic.
Yeah. I think you've secured a win this round. I will offer you $1 million for your idea, for your superpower.
All I want is your Cheers mug.
Damn it, it didn't work. He didn't fall for the ruse. I was going to make him the rich so we could eat him. Anyway.
I'd never fall for that.
You're too smart. Well, you cannot have my Cheers mug, and let's pull up one more power to give to you. To pitch.
Are you finally going to get the win?
I have faith. I just need super faith. It's, because these aren't useful.
That actually sounds fantastic for me.
Okay, we'll go with this one. Bone generation. Grow and
what is it?
Bone generation. Grow and manipulate bones anywhere on your body. Cole, have you ever wanted to be taller?
No.
Damn it, man. Work with me!
Fine, I could, like, be 5'10 or something.
Okay, good. you can do that with this power. You have you ever wanted to be shorter?
100% no.
Ah, you tricky language. Okay. Anywhere on your body is it a thing to be a bone donor?
Yeah, you can donate bone marrow.
Oh, you're right. Imagine how rich you could be. How much can I get for donating bone marrow? Donors never pay for donating and are never paid to donate. Damn it. What? What's the point of it?
So you're saying I'm not going to get paid for donating bones I'm growing?
I'm reading. Distract the audience while I read.
So everyone, he is currently trying to tell me why growing bones is a good superpower. And the crazy thing about that is that if you talk about growing bones, you could consider being Wolverine. You could say, you know, growing bone claws out of my hands, which of course Wolverine had, and that was really cool. But again, problems run into that. I'm going to argue with myself just to make sure that Caden can't win in convincing me. But did you guys ever see that one X-Men movie where, like, I forgot what it was, but oh no, it was Wolverine, I think, touching Jean Grey, or maybe it was Rogue, but either way, he saw the vision of Jean Grey or someone he wanted to kill. Almost like, he stabbed Rogue when his claws came out because he was angry.
The first X-Men movie.
And see that, that's a risk.
No.
That's
don't,
a risk.
Don't
being
dissuade
able to
the
grow,
audience.
To grow bones.
Come on! If you're not going to give me the win, they have to.
Someone that's has a terrible to win. Risk to growing bones.
What about this? Now, what about black market bone? Don't. What
now,
about black market bone sales?
Is say that
didn't have to. I didn't say it had to be legal bone sales.
So black market bone sales would be cool. But here's the thing: imagine really just being a practical joker, really like the Loki of the real world. What if you could grow every single bone?
This is my pitch.
On your body, right?
You
all 206 of them. All 206 of them. Take a second set of bones, right?
I've lost control of this podcast. What's going on? Rewind. I want another power.
Well, I'm describing the ultimate supervillain. The ultimate supervillain would grow all 206 bones and then bury that new set of bones in a random person's backyard.
What?
Right? So that, like, with a time capsule, you would just find a set of bones. However, they're not there for anyone that's dead.
You can donate.
So not only would it traumatize children and families, but it would baffle the authorities.
You can donate your bones
to science.
You can
also give bones to science. But I mean, that is kind of boring to donate bones to science.
You're boring.
Look, I think we can all agree at this point that I have actively destroyed any argument that Caden could have to bone generation.
I can still save this.
Do you think you can still save this? Go ahead, win me and the audience back. Definitely think you're still lacking in convincing me.
No, scratch that part. You can make bone puppets. No, scratch that. You can have the best Halloween decorations.
Okay, so bone puppets.
No, we're moving on from that. You can have the best Halloween decorations on the block.
All right, that is a great point, the bone generation. But again, with my whole growing an entire human skeleton just to kind of bury somewhere and traumatize people, I really think that the recurring theme in your superpower pitches is to traumatize children. Is there an underlying issue about your superhero backstory, Kevin?
I didn't say traumatize.
Hmm.
Just impress impress everyone with your very realistic skeleton that hangs from your door on Halloween. You didn't have to tell anyone it's real, and as long as they don't see you growing a new skeleton, the kids will be fine.
Okay, Caden, you do make a fair point on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after all of this, I'm just gonna have to say, you know,
wait, I've got what more. If... I've got more. Well, you have a dog. The dogs like bones. They're not supposed to chew on them. They're not supposed to chew on bones. I take that back. Okay, I've lost.
You know, Caden, after all of this time, I've enjoyed seeing you in pain.
I hate you.
Trying to figure out how to argue for this. But I think I'm going to give you the win on this one. Yep, I don't think it was anything that you did, but this entire time I've been thinking, what if I got like tennis shoulder or tennis elbow or something wrong with my wrist?
I can start over.
And instead of repairing it, you know, they just take the entire bone out. I'm walking around with a floppy hand for a little bit, and then voila, brand new wrist.
Exactly.
Better than ever.
Yep. I'm glad we agree bone generation is great.
Yeah, I'm glad that you 100% thought of that idea.
Oh, yeah.
So, I will give you the win on bone generation.
Yes! Well, I had another topic, but I'm pretty sure that I just want to end it there.
Man, I mean, you could try pitching the other topic, because I gotta say, I think I've won every single pitch.
Oh, you... I think I just want to end this on a win. Also, we've been going a while.
That's true. But give me your 2-minute pitch on this last idea. I want to see if you can keep it short and sweet.
Oh, no, it's not a power. It's okay. So, we've talked about some great powers equally, Cole. You know, we both made great points, equally great points, and... with all of this conversation rounding down, I think that we've accrued enough knowledge that we can point out, as our final little topic, what do you think is the best power in either daily life or superheroism? Either.
I'm sticking to it, what I had at the beginning, traveling through time. For the win.
Okay. It's a solid power.
What about you?
I think just time manipulation in general, it's a good one. But I think I'm gonna have to say, I like whenever this conversation of what superpower would you take comes up, I like to focus down on what I like to call the three tellies: teleportation, telekinesis, and telepathy. Because they're just the most useful. When it comes to teleportation, it's better than flight because it's instantaneous. Flight is great, but you can, if you want the glory of soaring above the skies, just teleport above the clouds. For telekinesis, it's better than super strength. You don't have to get your hands dirty. And assuming that you can lift as much with either your telekinesis or your super strength, it's just better. You can flip light switches on and off from across the room. You never have to get up. You don't have to touch anything. And for me, who doesn't like touching dry or, you know, nasty stuff, you don't have to do that. You never have to do it. You can do the dishes or anything from the comfort of your couch. It's great. And then telepathy. You never have to study again. You know exactly what people are thinking. You know anything they know. You can communicate, probably, right? You can communicate with them. You can read their mind. You know when they're lying. You know what they need to know. And if you're, like, say, a lawyer, you can get the dirt on anyone you need to. If you're a politician, you can just cheat your way up there. It's how most of them get there anyway. Not telepathy, but cheating. I think... in general, the best superpower is just telepathy. Because yes, super speed and or time travel can speed up a process, but if you can locate the mind of someone who knows how to complete that process well, then just read their mind and do it.
You make a fair point.
Yeah.
But I think we all know that even though we may have our favorite superpowers, there is one that trumps all, or really just one state of being that trumps all.
If you say being rich, then I will eat you on this podcast.
No, 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 no. It's not being rich, guys. It's being a fifth dimensional imp.
Well, that's cheating.
So, everyone remember, if you're seeing Mr. Mitzipitlick or Batmite, that is the epitome of superpowers and super luckiness.
Yeah.
So, I think that's where we'll leave this discussion on superpowers for the week. It has been a fun one, especially trying to hear you sell superpowers to me. I think we need to have you try and sell things to me more.
I'm sure there will be a sequel.
And hopefully there will. But for now, my name is Cole Browning.
My name is Gadda MacArthur.
You just watched this podcast, so go out there and be unquestionably nerdy.